Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect right now? With the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon, need a new playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold now and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Shield your savings with a Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. Noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey, everybody. Dan, the Charlie Kirk Show. Benny Johnson joins the program to talk about the behind-the-scenes debate prep with Vivek Ramaswamy. Then Sean Davis. So we talk about Israel, divided and Democrat Party, and the failure of the RNC. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up our podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Sean Davis, CEO and co-founder of The Federalist. Sean, I'm tired of losing. I'm sick of losing. I'm a big football fan. It's my weakness. I know I get a lot of hate mail for it. Oh, it's woke. I don't care. And one of the things about football is if you lose, you get fired. At the RNC, though, if you lose, you remain. Explain this to me, Sean.
I don't know. It seems like that's almost a fact of politics anymore, is that the worse you are at your job, the higher you fail upward. It's pretty disappointing. Watching these debates, for example, why on earth are people who hate us and hate people who read us and follow us and hate what we believe, why are we letting them run these debates and attack our people? It would almost be like giving the Yankees front office the ability to interview anyone who's going to go and play for the Red Sox, or like letting the Redskins, and I still call them the Redskins and I always will, letting the Redskins coach like pick who's going to play for the Cowboys. It's so dumb. And yet we seem to do it debate after debate and year after year. And I simply don't understand it at all.
Yeah. And so I want to play a piece of tape here. So Ronna McRomney was asked about her involvement in Virginia, and it's always deflection. It's blaming other side. And Larry O'Connor, who's a total superstar. I really like Larry. He's been in the movement for quite some time. He's so calmly and beautifully asked this question, was like, hey, why wasn't the RNC more involved? His reaction afterwards is just epic. So let's play this piece of tape here. It's always somebody else's fault. It's never the national party's fault. Play cut 155.
You don't let people lie about you and let it go unanswered. Let it go unanswered. And our candidates have got to do this. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. You can go and say, this is where I stand. The Democrats are lying. And now let's talk about crime, schools, border, fentanyl, and national security.
I just want to clarify one quick thing, though. The RNC had no involvement in these elections in Virginia per Governor Youngkin's request.
We were told in the summer they didn't need us, that they had all the money and they were good.
So now we've learned that the Virginia GOP chair, Rich Anderson, says that he asked the RNC to match the Democrats with $1 million of a late cash infusion into the state. The RNC, the only excuse they have is they can't raise money, but that was supposed to be Ronna's thing. So you say, well, we have no money, but you're not raising any money because donors don't trust you. The grassroots don't trust you. Sean, help me understand.
Yeah, you've got two jobs as a party leader. You raise money and you set up state-by-state infrastructure so that the party can succeed, which means, by the way, getting out the vote and setting up get-out-the-vote infrastructure. So your job is supposed to raise a truckload of money, and you're supposed to set up everything so that we can match the other side, match the Democrats, and how they get out the vote, how they do ballot chase and all that. I don't pay attention all that much to the fundraising, so I won't comment on that. But it's been almost 4 years since a completely absurd election in 2020 when the Democrats just ran circles around us in their absentee ballot chase, their mail-in chase. I haven't seen a whole lot of evidence in states where we really need to win, like Arizona and Georgia, that either the state party or the national party is doing much of anything to make sure the Dems don't run in 2024 the exact same playbook they ran against us in 2020. So I'm honestly kind of befuddled. I feel like I'm watching Office Space, watching the Bobs interview the employees, and thinking, what would you say you do here? Because I can't figure it out.
So moving forward here, Sean, let's emphasize on the NBC News thing. So we're after a very disappointing night. And then Lester Holt and Welker are cross-examining our candidates. I want the most objective way you could look at it. What candidate do you think separated themselves from the other? And who do you think missed an opportunity at that debate?
Oh, I thought Vivek was awesome. I love how he came right out of the gate and trashed the moderators and basically said, you're a whole bunch of Russian collusion hoaxers. Like, who do you think you are? That's how you handle these moderators. And I think Newt Gingrich was the one who provided the perfect model for this. He did it during the 2012 primary, where every time he got a question in one of these debates from a total left-wing hack masquerading as a journalist, he just took him to town. So, your premise is garbage. You're full of crap. I think you're liars. And here's what I'm going to talk about instead of the nonsense that you want to talk about. That's how you handle this. So I think Vivek was fantastic. It's hard for me to say who the loser was in these because they kind of feel like loser debates to me in the first place. It's like watching the kids' table. So I think the whole debate thing in and of itself, we need to have a discussion about. But I thought Vivek and the way he handled the moderators was great. And I wish every single Republican from now until forever would treat these hack propagandists the exact same way.
So I totally agree. And I'll just say this, Ron DeSantis received the first question and he gave his kind of typical, and by the way, he's the best governor in America. I want everyone to be very clear. I get hate mail when I say that. Ron DeSantis remains the best governor in America. He's not a good presidential candidate. He's running a poor campaign. It's the brutal, honest truth, and it's hard to watch. He gives this fine answer. I'm Ron DeSantis and people can't pay for gas and blah, 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 I feel you're paying, whatever. Ron, how awesome. You were just, you it was like a T-ball. You could have went right after NBC News. You could have just used them as the villain. And Vivek kind of picked up, the $1 trillion bill that was laying right there. And he called for Rana's resignation on top of it. It was Rana's resignation. The RNC's a bunch of losers. We have a culture of losing. And NBC News, you guys are the complete worst. And he got the headlines, honestly. He got the headlines across the headline, across the board. And people really appreciate it because they want a fighter. So let me ask you, kind of shifting gears here, Sean, Joe Manchin not running for the Senate, the significance of this, and how should we think about a potential no labels candidacy that is bubbling up with Willard Mitt Romney and Mr. Manchin?
Yeah, so I got a kick out of Manchin's press release that he put out and said, I've accomplished what I want to do in my career, and I'm very proud of what I've done, and I have hopes of doing other things. Buddy, you're retiring and not running again because you were going to get your butt kicked because you were Joe Biden's little lapdog when you were supposed to be representing West Virginia voters. So I think we need to be honest about why he's not going to be a senator again. And it's because no one in his own state likes him. The people who know him best don't want him as their senator anymore. And that's why he's not going to be running again. So you bring up Mitt Romney. Man, they are birds of a feather in that thing. Mitt Romney's the only consistent thing he has done his entire career in politics is run. He gets in once and then he does such a poor job that everyone in the state hates him, so he can't run again. So he just finds like a new state to run. He was a one-term governor in Massachusetts. He got smoked in the presidential, so he decided to move to Utah and run for Senate there. Now, no one likes him there anymore because he's a jerk. And so what does he have left to do? The only thing that Joe Manchin has left to do, which is avoid any actual real job and just stay in politics and find a bunch of left-leaning voters who pretend they're independent who you can bilk and make a living off of. So that's what's happening with Joe Manchin. And I can't take this no label stuff seriously at all. It's just a grift for a bunch of idiots who are hated by the left and hated by the right, don't want to get a real job and have no home to go back to.
By the way, Federalists, you guys do great work. It's really amazing. Just 30 seconds, riff on the Federalist. How are things going there? You guys are one of the most important outlets in the conservative movement.
Well, you're very kind to say that. Thank you. The Federalist is it's an online media publication. We do a lot of fantastic commentary, original reporting. Our editor-in-chief is Molly Hemingway, who literally wrote the book on the rigged election of 2020. We unmasked the Russia collusion hoax. We unmasked the Kavanaugh rape hoax. And unlike a lot of many other publications that pretend to be on the right, we actually love conservatives, and we love our readers, and we love our voters, and we want to be their voice and make them as loud as possible so people in Washington can hear them, and not vice versa.
Sean, stay right there. We'll get right back. And everyone check out Federalist.com. Is TheFederalist.com correct?
TheFederalist.com.
Great.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream bed sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Sean, let me read this headline for you, and we have a video to accompany it in a second. Will John Fetterman cost Joe Biden the election? Divisions among Democrats over Israeli-Palestinian conflict have highlighted the fault with lines in the party. John Fetterman's actions are unlikely to sway the presidential election in Pennsylvania. However, it does show that there are fault lines in the Democrat Party. First of all, I'm not a fan of John Fetterman, but the guy is a masterclass troll. Every Republican could take a class in how to troll like John. John Fetterman is basically if Reddit became a U.S. senator. I don't know if you saw this video, but it's just, you know, you have this guy that looks like Cyclops walking, you know, in a hoodie with an Israeli flag walking. Did you see this video? It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And all these Hamas people are getting arrested. Honestly, I respect that level of game. And this his base he's trolling. So, Sean, you know, let's broaden this a little bit outside of just Fetterman doing the trolling. Is this, which is the fault lines of the Democrat Party over Israel, the Palestine issue. I don't want to overplay this. I think this is the most divided I've seen the Democrats in recent memory. Am I right on saying that, Sean?
I think you are. And I think it explains why the institutional left, why Joe Biden and the party leadership walk on eggshells on this issue, which really shouldn't be a difficult issue. You know, people shouldn't be rolling into Israel and murdering babies and raping people and filming it and bragging about it. That's bad. I feel like anyone who has a soul understands that's bad. But unfortunately, there's a significant segment of the left, the far left, that hates Israel, hates Jews. And when they see party leadership like Joe Biden and anyone else say common sense things about Israel, they lose their minds. And that explains everything about why the Democrats are handling this as poorly as they are, is that Joe Biden is terrified that he's going to lose the presidential election. Because he's going to lose Michigan, because he's going to lose Dearborn, Michigan.
That's a big thing.
That explains everything.
Yep.
It's everything that's going on. It has nothing to do with principle. They're just scared about what their loony left is going to do to them if they don't kowtow to Hamas.
Yeah. And it's just, but also beyond that, Sean, there are radicalized white liberals that care about the Gaza issue as well. It's not just the Muslim vote, right? This could impact some of their college campus enthusiasm. And you play that in with some Jill Stein, Cornel West. I mean, there are serious fault lines in this forced Democrat coalition.
Oh, absolutely. The hardcore white left is every bit as anti-Semitic as the hardcore Islamo radicals, far and away. And they're being bred, by the way, in left-wing run universities who view the entire world through this oppressor, oppressed, colonialist victim perspective. And so, yeah, your most rabid anti-Semites, often on college campuses, are these hardcore left-wing white radicals. It's totally bizarre. But if you watch the media, the only anti-Semites on earth are on the right, which is absurd if you have eyes and ears and a brain, because it's clearly concentrated on the left.
Final question, Sean. your just gut reaction, Tucker Carlson, vice president for Donald Trump.
I love it. I love Tucker. I think it'd be great. It'd be great for America. He's one of the only people who says all the things that we all think but aren't allowed to say. And he actually comes out and says it. And I love him. I think it'd be awesome.
I think we would win, especially in a multi-candidate race. We're going to keep on building it out. Sean, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Tucker, nobody is better in front of the camera than Tucker. You're not going to outwit him. Could you just imagine Tucker in a debate? Tucker versus Cammie? Kamala Harris versus Tucker. Tucker is ridiculously alert. He's been harassed constantly. And in an internet age, as Joe Rogan famously said, Tucker Carlson was built for the internet. No personal scandals. His laugh alone. We know this at Turning Point USA. You could fill up a room if you just announce Tucker. So let's pretend Trump has to go to Fulton County and Jack Smith, and he's tied up in all this court stuff. Wouldn't it make sense to have a vice president who could draw big crowds and draw media attention? Especially in a multi-candidate race, everybody. You want to win younger voters, especially younger men? Ooh, Tucker Carlson. You would win early 30-somethings. You would win the Rogan bros. You would win the Andrew Tate people. And honestly, I think you'd win a lot of suburban women. A lot of moms like Tucker. They really do. Tucker's smart. He's well-educated. He's smooth. He's also very anti-fragile, our new favorite word. I've used it before. I'll use it again. The more he's attacked, the stronger he gets. They've tried to take Tucker out every possible way. The government spied on him illegally. Tucker doesn't care. He's in a political moment that we're in. Doesn't that make sense? I want to tell you about the Herzog Foundation. We are partnering with them on some exciting stuff. For years, I've been talking about our nation's public schools and how they've been captured by progressive ideologues, teaching things that directly contradict the values of American families, especially true if you're a Christian family. For those of you worried about the best educational path, I want you guys to check out the Herzog Foundation. They are the trusted source on American K-12 public education with a remarkable suite of resources for parents and grandparents thinking about making the switch from public schools to a Christian education. Check out their online deal, The Lion, online publication, to their podcast, Making the Leap. The Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for your kids. To learn more about how your family, faith, and community can flourish through a quality Christian education, go to HerzogFoundation.com. That's HerzogFoundation.com. Joining us now is the legend, Benny Johnson. Benny is best known by hosting...
A legend?
You are a legend. No. I just don't throw praise unless it's earned, okay? I got to tell the whole story here and okay. We'll go through it. And Benny, of course, hosts the Benny Show. He's amazing. We've done some really fun stuff at Turning Point USA and continue to. And so, but he will be best known when the history books are written for being a debate coach. So here I am about to take the stage at Freedom Night, our Turning Point USA event, and my phone is lighting up. Vivek goes after the RNC. Vivek goes, I say, what is going on? Because here I kind of put in the back of my mind, I was like, whatever. You know, you and Vivek were like doing somersaults off of jet skis or something. You're like, we're debate prepping, running through the woods. I was like, all right, okay, whatever. And then as soon as I saw Vivek go after NBC News, I said, Benny, it's Benny. Tell us the story, Benny.
Okay, so what do I do professionally? This has been something that I've had a tough time, a question I've had a tough time answering my entire life. I do pattern recognition and energy. Right? Like, where is the base? What is our energy? What are the patterns of the things that we hate the very most? Well, we hate an RNC that doesn't listen to us. We hate a Republican Party that won't build the wall, that won't deliver for the base, that delivers election wins for the RNC. It is not the RNC that wins elections. It is us who gets out and votes. But we also hate the corporate press. And so why don't we bundle both those two things into criticism of an RNC that is siding with NBC News to host a debate and ask the questions, why are these debate hosts allowed to, one, rig another debate against Republicans? Why is the RNC celebrating NBC News as a debate partner when they went with Hunter Biden's laptop disinformation, Russia disinformation against President Trump, kneecap President Trump's presidency, and what were Russia collusion hoaxers? Why would we allow that? How cucked are we? And how embarrassing is it for all of us that we have to say this is our Republican Party? And why doesn't Rana just resign? Do us all a favor and simply resign. And so all I did was bring those concerns to the person who I was making a documentary with that day, Vivek. And, compliments to Vivek. He sort of
let's show the clip here. So
went with it.
Because Benny, it really was the shot heard around the world. It was one of the most viral debate moments in the history of debates because Vivek said what we were all thinking. Rana has a 99% disapproval rating. Every base member, all the donors I talked to, they want her gone. It transcends economic lines, state lines. Nobody likes her unless they're on the payroll, right? And yet Vivek is the only one that, and then NBC News on top of it. This is behind the scenes before the debate. It's amazing you captured this, Benny. Play cut 154.
Oh, they're going to be so upset because persnippity moderators to be compared to Greg Gutfeld, and then it'll throw them off. It'll throw them off their game so bad because you'll be like, you people are clowns to us, right? Like our base doesn't like you. Yeah. And it's nothing personal. Yeah. It's just you've earned it, right? You've lied to them.
That's right.
And consistently.
Yeah.
Yes. So why are we allowing you to be our inquisitors? This is such a broken RNC. This is such a This is such a broken system.
Now, I want to brag on Vivek because we're going to play some more here. How many times, Benny, how many times have you and I texted or, said good ideas to congressmen and senators? They said, they don't listen to us. Credit to Vivek for also being open-minded, right? That's a big deal.
That's exactly right. And also Vivek, who's certainly not short of podcast bookings, said, why isn't Elon Musk and Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson hosting a debate? Why isn't Charlie Kirk hosting a debate? Charlie, why aren't you? Have you been asked by the RNC to host a debate?
No, I have been attacked by the RNC in the last couple of weeks. Definitely not asked to host the debate, but I'm thankful to even be included in that list. That's very sweet. But no.
Why not? I mean, that's in the documentary that we put up. We put up a 30-minute documentary about that debate preparation, which really was just us having a conversation, right? Like energy absorption. Like where's the base right now? What do they want to hear? Because as much as we want to talk about the number of naval ships and Hugh Hewitt, and how many ships do we got? Like people are really concerned about other issues, and specifically inside of the party. Like you shouldn't get rewarded for lying to us. And that's what the Republican Party just did. They rewarded Kristen Welker and NBC News, who lied to us for 3 years and kneecapped President Trump, who we put in office in spite of them trying to rig the 2016 election. We put President Trump in office and they destroyed, arguably, his first term based on a lie. And they have never apologized. They have never said they were wrong. They then get rewarded by our own RNC, and it allows me to ask the question again and again, how cucked are we? If we can't say you get no debates until you apologize to our base for lying to us about the Russia collusion hoax, then we really don't have a party. And so it was refreshing to see somebody actually say that from the stage and then to call for Rana to resign.
Which, by the way, you want to talk about moving the Overton window, because you know me, Benny. I pick fights all the time, and I've been kind of like beating the drum. You know, why is Ronna McRomney still in there, in our little corner here? And, we're having fun. And next thing you know, boom, Vivek goes on stage. It's like, why are you in charge exactly? And who are you? And now it's mainstream, completely mainstream. Here's cut 166. Benny did a documentary with Vivek before the debate. Here is the conversation behind the scenes of Vivek deciding he will call for Ronna to resign. Play cut 166.
Yeah. I think it's just say that. Ronna McDaniel should resign. There needs to be some accountability. She should get up on stage right now. She's here. Ronna, come up here and resign. We could just do that.
I mean, if you want to ensure that you die the cast, like set the cast for the entire rest of the debate.
That's probably the thing to do it.
If you get out early, then everyone who's pecking online will just go hard in on that angle because that's such a juicy angle. And they'll be like, nope, there's nothing else will matter, right? The debate will be over. Yeah. You will have already laid down the gauntlet.
You, Benny, you saw every chess move as it happened.
Well, it's not hard to simply just read the room. Why should Ronna keep her job? And you and I both know the dirty little secret here, which I think we can both say, Charlie, you know a lot of Republican donors. This is why they're so scared of you. This is the only reason that Ronna keeps her job is corruption. She keeps her job because she pays people off, because the RNC overpays massive consultants and people who have connections to the GOP committee men and committee women from each state. The RNC engages in corruption, and it is institutional and endemic in DC. It is not just the RNC, but it is also the RNC. And that is how these people stay in power. Here's a great story for you, just a short anecdote. I lived in Washington, DC for 15 years, one of the biggest mistakes of my life, but nonetheless, around the corner from me was an RNC staffer who was so ashamed. She's one of the major fundraisers for the RNC. She was so ashamed of working for the RNC, she often and regularly lied to people and told them that she was a Democrat, and lied about where she worked, saying that she worked for a Democrat senator. And so these are the people that run the RNC. I know this firsthand. They are humiliated to be Republicans. They're embarrassed of the base, and they don't deserve your money.
And so Vivek goes after it. Benny, just objectively, because I know you spent time with him before, he was the viral winner of the debate. And I'm going to ask you a tough question, Benny, but I'm going to preface it correctly. I believe Governor Ron DeSantis is America's greatest governor. Okay, I've said it before. I'll say it again. He's done an amazing job. But Benny, I got to ask the obvious question. Why is he not hanging out with you beforehand and vibing out and going after NBC News? And I mean, Vivek is the online winner here. I can't help but be sad, Benny. What's going on here?
I am living in Florida because of Ron DeSantis. So I am no like massive critic or hater on Ron DeSantis. I moved my entire family. I'm the most precious things in my life. My children, I moved to Florida because of Governor Ron DeSantis, because I believe that arguably he's the best Republican governor of my lifetime. Now, he has run a lackluster kind of campaign because he just hasn't listened to the people who absorb energy all day. That's all I do. Pattern recognition on the internet and absorbing energy. That's how you can crack algorithms, right? And so I'd see where the base, like what the base really cares about. And the base was enraged that the moderators, I don't know how didn't this like pop into the head of anyone else on the debate stage that the moderators were the enemy. The moderators were the bad guys. So go after the moderators and then tangentially go after the RNC who allowed them to moderate. I don't know why that doesn't, it only doesn't connect if you're not actually understanding and listening to what your online communities are telling you and what the energy online is telling you. So I'll end by saying this, Charlie, I wasn't asked. Right? Like not once has the DeSantis team come and asked for an interview or said, can we get DeSantis on your show? The New York Times ran a story about DeSantis's online campaign and they name dropped me saying that I turned them down to be an influencer. I'm going to fact check this right now. 100%. They never asked. The New York Times was wrong. I know this is going to come as a shock to you, but the DeSantis team never asked me to be an influencer. They never asked me anything. They've never even contacted me. Which is strange, right? For a guy that's living in your state and moved his family down to your state. So odd campaign tactic.
It's disappointing, but an institution or a company, an organization can either be built on truth and merit or corruption. It's binary, one of two ways. And how does the government operate? Colleges, FBI, secret societies on corruption because they can't operate on truth and merit. Think about it. That's the RNC. Benny, plug all your coordinates for our audience, how people can follow and support you.
Yeah, at Benny Johnson on all social media accounts, although we are working on securing the at Benny account on X. I'm looking forward to that. But right now, Benny Johnson, verified and on pretty much everything.
You have a ton of followers on YouTube, Rumble, all of it, and also on podcasting. And the website, is it bennyjohnson.com? Is that right?
Yeah, BennyJohnson.com is our website. My relief factor is behind me. It is the bottle of bourbon.
That's where Benny and I disagree, is on liquor. All right, Benny, good idea or great idea? Tucker Carlson, VP for Donald Trump.
Yeah, totally. 100%. They had an interview on the night of the RNC debate. That interview has been seen by the entire population of America. It's got 350 plus million views. So, sure. Do you want the, ask yourself this, do you want the Kamala Harris, Tucker Carlson debate for vice president? Yes.
That alone.
Yes. The answer is yeah.
Yes.
You sure about that? You sure about that? That alone. That, I mean, come on. The most entertaining, Elon's razor is the most entertaining outcome is always the right one. And that this is the most entertaining outcome, obviously. Right? Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. And
come on. That's your ticket right there. That's your ticket right there. Like, I love Kerry Lake, right? I like Byron Donalds, but could Byron even be constitutionally, could Byron Donalds even be the vice president? They're both from Florida, right?
Well, so Tucker, I don't think that's actually a possible. Florida resident too, but Tucker could redomicile to Maine temporarily, but he has a home there. So, but yeah, I mean, that's easier than Byron. Are there any downsides to this, Benny? I mean, I'm just trying to game this out. There's going to be five candidates. We need to win over those Rogan bros. We need to win over the people in the middle. What if any, are there downsides to this?
It probably would interrupt Tucker's X show and would, I think, potentially bring Tucker Carlson back to Washington, D.C., a place he doesn't want to live any longer. He didn't live too far from Naval Observatory Circle, right? And he didn't like it. His door was kicked in by Antifa when he was living there. And so that's bad. But now he'd have Secret Service. So Tucker Carlson with Secret Service protection, thing I want.
Yeah, I just...
And access to the military, like, and access to the military, yes, thing I want.
I mean...
And a meeting with Zelensky, potentially, like, that would be awesome. You greasy little rat, you know, you rat-like, greasy little man in a tracksuit.
Yeah, Tucker would sit down with Zelensky. So, like, why do you have Nazis in your military, exactly? Like, what is that all about? Now, Tucker would go to NATO and be like, why do you exist? Like, why are we in...
Dude, they went after Vivek. They went after Vivek for that. They're like, he called Zelensky a Nazi! Yo, like, we have the footage of him saluting a Nazi in Canada. We have the tape, bro. Like,
that's
he
right.
Stood up and applauded. He gave a standing ovation to a Nazi. It's a really simple binary. We want to talk about simple binaries here? Okay, let's go. If you fought the Russians in World War II, which was Canada's ally, and you fought on behalf of the Germans in Ukraine, which side were you on? Hans, are we the baddies?
You're like, wait, who are we applauding exactly? Which side? Not to mention the Azov Battalion. Benny, the Azov Battalion are full of Nazis.
Well, that's exactly right. That's the point of the Azov Battalion, right? I mean, I know Jack Posobiec, but even I know that. But, yeah.
So Benny, moving forward, so the RNC, we need a new leader. Other thoughts, concerns you see going into 2024, the things that need immediate fixing so that we do not lose a major opportunity and lose the country?
Things that need major fixing? I mean, it'd be easier to say the things that are going right. You count on one hand, maybe, or less. But the things that need major fixing is obviously Tyler Boyer talks a lot about this. I know he's a friend of the show. You gotta get ballot operations in place, man. I mean, we've been destroyed on these issues. You gotta get in touch with voters. Scott Pressler, I know, works tangentially with you, Charlie. Rana won't return Scott's calls. Hey, Rana, call Scott. I don't understand why that is, unless you actually want to lose, which is the thing I would ask you is this all a long-term play by the Romney family to destroy the Republican Party because he was denied the presidency and Republicans didn't turn out to vote for him? Like, is this all in a race that he should have won, by the way? He should have beat Barack Obama in 2012, one of the easiest races to ever win for anyone. But Republicans didn't turn out for him because it was a greaseball. And now he's staging a long-term coup to destroy the Republican Party from the inside by putting his niece or whatever up. I don't know. It's interesting. Interesting question. Do you think that Ron McDaniel is trying to destroy the Republican Party?
What would she do differently?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is if you study your family, her mom ran for Senate, lost. Her dad ran for governor, lost. Her every member of her family. It's like when you say she's a loser, yeah, but like not just her, like her entire family are losers. And now Utah's like clearly Mitt Romney didn't want to run. Like, you know, Utah might have chucked Mitt Romney. He had like four or five primary challengers. So yeah, just straight up losers, man.
Benny Johnson, everybody. Benny Show, great work this week, Benny. Great to see you. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. And God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com. We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.